thank you again for your calling upon our lives. And Lord, we thank you again. You've gathered us here to magnify your Son. Thank you, God, that you've shown us your grace. And Lord, not just a little bit of it, but you've shown us and proved to us you've given us all grace. And Lord, it's for everything, always. God, it superabounds in everything we ever face. And Lord, help us all today to understand you love your vessels of mercy. And that's what we are. Lord, you've given us all of our lives the exact extreme opposite of what we deserve. Lord, dead in our trespasses and sin, but yet you saw for us and you saw us in love that you wanted us to wear the crown of glory with you. Lord, that is a love story that will go on for all the ages. And Lord, we're just here to say thank you today. And thank you today as you will reveal to us in a worship and in a thanks that only your great grace could give us. And so here we are, made one in Christ, a bond of perfectness in one spirit and one voice and one praise. Your beloved says, thank you, Jesus. In your name, amen. It's getting real, saints. We're going to walk right on into what we see. And with a body like unto his own, you're going to be able to handle it. You ain't going to wonder what you're going to be doing, are you? I don't imagine. I know. This crown tells me so. Praise God. We don't have time, so we got to go to Revelation chapter 4 today. You know what? Don't worry about catching up. The Lord will do it. In Jesus' name. Begin reading here from the 6th verse. Now I want you to know, just to kind of give you a little privy of what's just happened. The blast of the trumpet of the archangel. The trump of God. That wonderful voice of the archangel. Our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Rise up, my love, my fair one. Come away. That's what's just happened. And he opens heaven here. See, he can close it, open it. He does all that. It's not hard for him. People say, oh, you believe in a split rapture. There's nothing split about the rapture. There's different resurrections. That's right. You know, Enoch walked with God. God opened up heaven. Said, I'm taking that one. Took him. There's, he took him. All right. Elijah, huh? So we know that God, he can open up heaven, close it, whatever he's going to do at any time. So he can take a body, take it home. Well, this is the body he's going to take it home. Yep, and she's one. She's one. She's the bride. And so what's just happened, John is recording this in the spirit. He's taken that sweet John up there, showing him these things. And he opens up heaven. Boom. Now we get the vision of what's in heaven. All right? At the very first, when the bride is taken home. And she will be the first company. And that bride is a part of the church. The bride is not the whole church. The Bible does not preach that. The Bible does not teach that. Now, most of Christian community teaches and preaches that. And I'm sad to say, it's because it makes everybody feel good. Brings more people in. Because then we don't have to, you know, have any disagreements or agreements or whatever. I just want to agree with the Lord. I don't want to preach something that tickles your ears. I don't want to preach something that's pleasing to man. I want to preach what's pleasing to God. And him giving his Son like he's given him to us. I believe he's touched every one of our lives. Lord, I want what you want. And he that wills to know will know. So here we are. And I think he wants us to know. Matter of fact, I know he does. So We'll jump to verse 6. And we see it says, "And before the throne there was a sea of glass and a crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind." If you'll read on, you'll understand that these four beasts are a company of people. They are exactly like Jesus to the fullness. It says they were redeemed out of every kindred, tribe, and nation. Okay. A lot of times in the Word of God, the Word in its beauty uses type and shadow and metaphor. And it's so glorious that John, in a way, still being human but taking up in the Spirit, he can only write to a certain capacity of what the Holy Ghost is revealing to him. So this is what he sees. But what he's seeing is what Paul's epistles reveal to us and what we know. This is the mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This is the one that went on from a child is an heir of God and then a joint heir with Jesus Christ, if so be ye suffer together with me, that you might be glorified together with me. All right? So we have at this moment, we see so beautifully the bride right there in the midst of the throne, just like Jesus said, ruling and reigning jointly together with me. You don't see this company out before him with palms in their hand. Matter of fact, right before they got there, just a couple verses earlier, and we're going to read about them in just a second, there are 24 elders that are seated round about the midst of that throne. And those 24 elders, you know what? They've been there some time. Oh, yes, they had. Matter of fact, they've been there, what is that? Matthew 27. All right? In Matthew 27, Jesus went up on high, and he arose, all right? And what he did when he arose, he opened up many of the graves of the saints, many of them. Not all of the graves of the saints, but many of them. So again, you see that these were ones that had passed away, praise God, all from the very, very beginning there, you know, whether you had like your Jacob and Isaac and Esau and all of those different ones, okay? So they were all there. I didn't mean Esau, I apologize. All right. But Jacob, Isaac, we'll get some others in there, like Joseph, and we can get David and all of those wonderful worthies of faith, okay? So there they were, and they were in those graves. And what the Lord did is he opened up many of the graves, not all of them, but the ones that were the full overcomers of the Old Testament. And what he did with them is he took them and he gave them glorified bodies, and they joined him, praise God, in that heavenly city. And that's what the Word of God tells us. And it says that they are the friends of the bridegroom right now, that are with Jesus Christ right now, his friends. And the Word of God tells us that they are waiting for the voice of the bridegroom to call to his bride. It's a marvelous thing. So this is what heaven is doing right now. Can you imagine that? The focus of it all is the moment that Jesus Christ will call for his bride. That's the truth. That's the word. All right? Now, we're there. See, this is going to happen. We're just waiting for the manifestation of it. Amen? Praise God. And you know that sweet man from Scotland over there, he said, "As thou hast believed, so be it unto you." That's why you keep coming back, huh, John? Me too. Because we believe it, brother. There ain't anything else. This is what we've been called to. This is what I know. This is what I see. I can't see that Bible any other way, can you? Because he gave you enlightened eyes of understanding, didn't he, sweet man? That's how we see it. Thank you, Lord. And it's not because it's my opinion. It's because what's been revealed in Scripture. This is what I see. This is what I yearn for. This is what I desire. This is what I love. This is the first love of my life. Praise God, this is if by any means I might attain unto that. And then he tells me, "Honey, I've already given it to you. It's all by grace. Just believe me. Just occupy as my readied wife that praise God, you've accepted my proposal in marriage. You said I do. When I saw you in ages past, honey, I said, I'm done. It's you. I get that. I thank the Lord. It's that exact. It's that perfect. And we're that imperfect. But he gave us the faith to see his word and not to just look at our own lives. Come on. So here we go. And before the throne, there was a sea of glass and to crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were the four beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face of a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each one of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within and without. They rest day and night. They say, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give, see, you got to have it to give it. They give glory to him. That's the glory that shall be revealed in you. You're going to give it to him. You're going to give it to him. This is his bride giving him glory. That's why we grow from glory to glory into his very image. That all comes from the Apostle Paul. You're not going to get that unless you get into those epistles and start learning and reading and chewing on and immersing yourself in the mystery that was hidden from the sons of men, but now is made known unto us. Praise God. And when those beasts give glory and give honor and give thanks to him that sat on the throne, that who liveth forever and ever, after they did that, now we've got the company of the 24 elders. Those are the full overcomers of the Old Testament. They've been seated around these thrones watching this occur. They've been with him waiting for the voice of the bridegroom to call for her, and he did. And here they are in wonder and awe watching this occur. And what do they say? Here's what they say. As the 24 elders, they fall down before him that sat on the throne. So they're falling down. They're worshiping him that liveth forever and ever. And they cast their crowns before the throne. See, they're the ones that cast the crowns because they're so overcome. Because he's got his glory. He's got his honor. He's got his thanks. He's got her. Oh, we're so happy for you, Jesus. And they cast their crowns and they say, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, to receive her, to receive honor, to receive her. And receive what? Power. He's taking the throne as God. He's going to be taking that throne as God. And the reason he takes the throne as God is because he has her. You have her. It's done. Hallelujah. For thou hast created all things. Oh, that's so glorious. Created all things for thy pleasure. They are and were created. And I got to tell you, that word created, it means intimate fellowship after his likeness. He created all things and then created her, that intimate pleasure of your likeness. We're like him in stature and measure and fullness, all of that. A perfect one, fully grown. Amen? Praise God. This is so glorious. So this is what we have here, brothers and sisters. And we're going to go right to that verse 9. Because right in verse 9, I don't do this very often, but this is thanksgiving. Amen. That thanks truly is the thanksgiving. It's a word that is so very special in the Word of God. Very, very special. And only the Holy Ghost does these things for us, brothers and sisters. And he does it for us. And he does it all the times. He shows you a little bit more of a hidden thing. That word, that thanks, is a very, very, very special thanks in the Word of God, in the Greek. Matter of fact, it's so unique, it's only spoken by two different people. This form of this word is only spoken by two different people. 12 times by the Apostle Paul, and 2 times by the bride, the 4 living ones that you'll see in Revelation. Now, you find the word thanks in the Bible many, many times, all right? But the meaning is very, very different. The majority of the time you find the word thanks in the Bible, the meaning of it is as a verb, a doing word. It means to show gratitude. A wonderful thing that your heart is thankful for something. It's like saying, Lord, I thank you for my meal. All right? Now, the 24 elders, they use that exact thanks. Matter of fact, in Revelation, let's go read about it. Turn on over to Revelation chapter 11. See, you know when you come in here, you got to have a sermon and a Bible study, because you can't have a Bible study without a sermon. So you got to have them both. Praise be to God. So, in Revelation chapter 11, verses 16 and 17, let's read this. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats. Notice how that kind of just really specifically tells you where they're sitting, right? On their seats. Right? What do they do? Which sat before God on their seats, fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty. You got to listen to this, because this really popped out to me again. Which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. What were they just saying a minute ago? Thou art worthy to receive glory, honor, and power. And what has he taken to him? His power. Amen. There she is. He's taken it to him. It's glorious, saints. It just keeps going. Now, they're recognizing that, the 24 elders again, from their place, which is round about the throne, all right? And they're saying that there's a gratitude, there's a thankfulness, a gratitude that they're saying, we so thank God that you're receiving her. Again, this gratitude, again, that is similar to thanking the Lord for an act, a verb, what's been doing. And see, this is where I go back and I say, you know what? The 24 elders, we read right here, they don't have the same thanks as the bride. We're going to talk about the bride's thanks here in a minute. They don't have the same garments as the bride. They don't. The bride has the lampros glory. That's the glory of Jesus. The 24, they have a leukos glory. The 24 are seated around the throne. They're not seated in the throne. See it. See it. And I will tell you, it's important for you to see. Amen. It is very important. Amen. Now, the thanks of these four living ones is not a verb. It's not an action. It's not a doing word. And I was bad at grammar. I've got a brother and sister that used to help me write papers. Sorry. But they did. Sister was wonderful. But this is not a verb. It's not the act of saying, I thank you, Lord, for my food. Uh-uh. The thanks that we see in chapter 4, verse 9, where she gives him thanks, it's a noun. It's a person, place, it's a thing. She's the thanks. Do you get it? She's it. She gives him the thanks. Strong's even says it's the thanks of love worship. It's different, and it is different. She gives him that cup, that glorious, that communion, that fellowship. You know, I thank the Lord that her utterance is the thanks of, Lord, I thank you that I'm in love. She gives him the thanks of agape love. She gives him that thanks, praise God, of a cup that is so full and overflowing with love that he is beside himself. So I want you to think of it again. She is his glory. She is his honor. She is his thanks. She gives him her agape love thanks. And she truly says, Jesus, thank you for being in love with me. Now, saints, this is beyond even the thanks that Jesus gives to his Father. I want you to turn there. This is a beautiful thanks. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, 24. We rejoice in this. We thank the Lord. The Lord said, do this in remembrance of me. But see, Jesus here, 1 Corinthians 11, Paul is speaking of this. He said, and when he had given thanks, when Jesus had given thanks, and that's the thanks, he break it and said, take, eat, this is my body that is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Okay? This do in remembrance of me. Now, this is a thanks again of gratitude. This is the thanks of the same thanks that the 24 elders gave. And it's wonderful, the communion of the fellowship that this is. But brothers and sisters, the thanks of the four living ones, the thanks that God has put in our hearts, our communion and our fellowship is with the bridegroom. It's with the bridegroom. Here's the fellowship that we have. Turn on over to Philippians 3. Let the Lord just really expand this in your heart of the fellowship that we have, the communion that we have with God. Philippians 3 verse 10, it says, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Now, saints, this is the fellowship and communion of a spouse. This is the fellowship, praise God, of the thanks that she is giving him. This is beyond the thankfulness of Savior, thank you for dying for me. This is the thanks and the purpose of it all. Thank you, my bridegroom, for being in love with me. Amen. Do you thank the Lord for being in love with you? Amen. I believe you do, don't you? Have you ever loved somebody so much? Hopefully your spouse. Have you ever told them, thank you for loving me? Thank you for truly being in love with me? I pray you've said that to Jesus. The bride does. I tell him that over and over. Not that I need to remind him. But it sure does make me happy. It sure stuns me to give him that thanks and say, Lord, thank you for being in love with me. And thank you for bringing me into your sufferings on the cross. Sometimes I don't even think we realize what we suffer for Christ's sake. But he does. He's good. Sometimes we know the sufferings. Sometimes we like to think we point them out. I think he's a God that's so beyond us. He's brought you into sufferings that you don't even know. But he does. Now, how about saying, thank you that your love gives me life? How about saying, thank you, Lord, that your love is the meaning of my life? Does that strum across your heart? Amen. Yes. Amen. Say, I know that love, don't I? Hallelujah. I know that state of heart, don't I? Amen. Well, only the bride utters this kind of thanksgiving. This is the thanksgiving that draws nigh in fervent love to kiss him. See, even Strong's, and that's again a wonderful definition book that tells you so much of the definition of the words in the Greek and the Hebrew. And it can be a useful thing, but the Holy Ghost has got to tell your heart this. You can read it, but then is it yours? But see, when we speak of worship, once again, the definition of worship in the Word of God is to draw nigh unto Him in fervent love as to kiss. This thanks is the fervent love thanks. I thank the Lord for everything, don't you? I think we're a people that does that. I thank Him for my clothes. I thank Him for my friends. I thank Him for my car. I thank Him for my house. I thank Him for all these things. But I thank the Lord, I'll tell you what, that I worship Him. I thank the Lord. I draw nigh to Him to kiss the lover of my soul. I draw nigh to Him as my spouse. I know He loves me. He's ravished my heart. I'm grateful to God beyond what I could tell you. Now, as we close this up, there is an altar called the golden altar. And upon that altar was a sweet smelling incense of thanksgiving. And what would happen there is that they would get that going and everything, and they'd bring those coals into the Holy of Holies, and it would give the aroma of that thanksgiving all over the mercy seat and the cherubim. And it would just sit there. And can you imagine God just smelling that? Oh, son, she smells. I guess I don't know where I am today. Well, I really do. But I'm going to tell you why all this today. You want this thanksgiving to Him. You do. It's so set apart. It's why she cries out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty. You've separated me to You. I'm Yours. I get it. And Lord, I thank You. I thank You for this in-love fellowship that I have with You, that by the grace of God, I will reign with You. I'll be glorified together with You forever and ever and ever." Do you think by the grace of God that we have that cup of thanksgiving right now? I guess it's really like, you know, the Song of Solomon. It talks about the Shulamite. And you know what she brings to him in chapter 7 as it's all ended up? It says that her lips bring to Him the sweetest wine that He will ever drink. Do you think it's that cup of thanksgiving? Do you think that's the communion that she will have, separate and apart with Him? Lord, take of this cup. I'm bringing You the thanks. I'm bringing You the glory. I'm bringing You the honor. Do you know who You are? And that's all He wants. That's all He wants is just thank Him. Amen, saints. Praise God. Let's pray. Oh, thank You. Father, we do. We just praise You today and give You all the thanks that Your plan, Lord God, is just so beyond. And Lord, that You've called us and chose us to have this fellowship with You. And Lord, this longing that we have, Lord, let it begin today. But Lord, it's alive in her heart right now. This isn't something to wait for. This isn't something that, Lord, it's only going to be good when that happens. Oh, no. Lord, this is that life that You said is more abundant right now. This is the joy unspeakable and full of glory right now. This, by the grace of God, is the glory in us right now that shall be revealed. Hallelujah, right now. Now, Lord, increase this faith in us. Praise God. We're your people. We're your elect. You know who we are. You know we're but dust. But, Lord, thank you how you deal with your jewels. Lord, you've given to us today, yea, the deep things of God by your Spirit. Lord, don't let this just be something we just pass through and say, man, I wonder what that was. No, by the grace of God, I believe that you give the grace and give the faith. No, I know what that is. I know what that man was speaking of, Lord, is the mark for the prize. I know, Lord God, you've given that to me, and help me not to be complacent. Help me not to be hard-headed. Help me not to be just indifferent. Help me to make the move. Lord, this is so true. It's so immense. It's so alive. It's so real. It's so the only thing, Lord God. Cause our hearts to break for it. Cause our hearts to desire it. And Lord, cause this love like that alabaster box. Let it just break forth upon this place as only you can. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.